The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson. I'm your host. It is still Thursday, November 11th. Will soon be Friday, November 12th. This is your Ravens-Dolphins recap. The Ravens were really the only team that escaped the insanity of Week 9. Not so fast, my friend. The week starts on Sunday, you know, the real life week. And the Ravens got on Thursday, losing 22-10 to the Miami Dolphins in what can best be described as, South Florida with pleasant conditions weather-wise. Joining me to break it down, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
Breach, I'm sure you're well aware the Steelers are that much closer to being first place in the AFC North.
And I'm sure you are well aware that the whole AFC North is now only separated by one game.
You can watch this podcast on YouTube. We are giving away a Brinson Sucks hat on the YouTube channel. Leave your handle in the chat if you want to try and win a Brinson Sucks hat or toboggan, depending on where you live. It's your choice. And Ryan Wilson or Debo will mail them to you. You can watch us on YouTube. If you're in YouTube, hit the like button. Smash that like button. Make sure and subscribe. Hit the alarm next to it. You'll get notifications. We go live every Monday, Thursday, or every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, recapping the primetime games. And we have a 1 p.m. usually, unless Prisco's not being a diva, a 1 p.m. Thursday show where we do picks for the week. And then Ryan Wilson bust out a 1 p.m. Tuesday mock draft show. Breach, if you're going to yawn, mute your effing microphone, please.
Oh, you could hear that? I was choking, Brinson. My God. A man can't choke in peace. Good Lord.
M. Jones says, you know, if you didn't hassle people so much, they would like more. I wholly disagree.
I don't.
You're like everybody just knows the like. Is that right?
Breach said, I don't.
He's just so lazy. My God. Yeah, that's true.
That's not true.
Breach barely puts on shirts most of the time.
That's true.
He was eating a Reese's peanut butter cup on the podcast.
That's because I don't own any shirts.
As close to the microphone as possible.
I wear borrowed clothes.
Anyway, let's get to the recap. 22-10, Dolphins over the Ravens. The Dolphins are now 3-7?
Yep.
I hate that the NFL site doesn't update that immediately. And the Ravens fall to 6-3.
NFL Look, Jesus updates immediately. It's updated.
It's not updated for me. At any rate, the Ravens, 6-3. The Steelers have an opportunity to leap up into first place or move into a tie for first place, I guess.
If they beat the Lions.
If they can just beat the Lions on Sunday. And this is a huge loss for both for the Steelers, for everyone else in the AFC North, basically. If you're a Bengals fan, you love this loss. I know, Breach, you're not cheering it. If you're a Steelers fan,
I'm cheering. I am cheering. Look at me. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm absolutely cheering. This is
the last place Bengals fan is cheering.
Second place. Just kidding. Third place. Just kidding. Last place.
Yeah. And look, man, I don't think the Dolphins were great in this game.
I thought they were really good.
I thought the defense played really well.
This is a terrible football team. I mean, I was talking about on HQ with Dylan Wednesday, is this the worst team of the AFC?
I told you that both Tua Tagovailoa and Jacoby Brissett played in this game, that neither went over 160 passing yards, that Myles Gaskin was the leading rusher with 31 yards, and that Albert Wilson led the team in receiving with 87 yards, and that Mike Gesicki didn't have a single catch, would you say, wow, the Dolphins won?
Wait, do you also tell me that Brian Flores decided to start the worst quarterback on his roster and keep the better guy on the bench for some reason, somehow backed his way into one of the biggest upsets of the season?
Straight up, you know what I would say? I would say I bet the Dolphins won 22-10. What happened? How did it work out?
Did I say AFC North or NFC North? I thought I said AFC.
I don't know. We can check the tape later.
That's the least of your worries.
The concern, for sure. I got a million more worries. The problems for the Ravens were myriad. They were awful on offense. They weren't necessarily bad on defense. I mean, this game was just sloppy between two offenses that didn't have it. But, I mean, Lamar Jackson, 9 carries. Oh, man, that prop.
80% humidity will kill you.
39 rushing yards. Devontae Freeman, 10 carries, 35 yards. Lamar, 26 of 43 for 238, a touchdown and a pick. Marquise Brown did not have the blow-up game that we thought he would. 13 targets, 6 catches, 37 yards. What a bizarre stat line. And Rashad Bateman actually broke out with a – not broke out, but had a pretty good game. He finished with 6 catches, 80 yards, a couple of those in garbage time to really boost up the stat numbers. Sammy Watkins, Miz game, one catch, 7 yards, had a big touchdown drive, a non-catch early in the first half, and then a massive fumble that actually led to the first touchdown by the Dolphins defense and Xavien Howard, who scooped it up and took it to the house. The Ravens no-showed the game. And that's their second no-show of the year following a big win.
What was the other no-show?
Against the Bengals, and they got absolutely blistered.
Oh, right, yeah.
They beat the Chargers, no-showed the Bengals game, then came back last week, found a miracle win over the Vikings, and no-showed this short week game in Miami.
They should have lost the Vikings game, except the Vikings ended up at the end there.
I mean, honestly, they could be.
They were trailing 22-3 to the Colts before the Chargers game and won that in overtime. You could argue they should have lost. So this is a 6-2 team that could easily be, or 6-3 team that could easily be 4-5 or 3-6.
I mean, I think they're better when I'm not going to be too, I'm not, I mean, look, really bad loss. I'm not going to freak out too much about the Ravens. If you look at the AFC as a whole, we've seen this kind of act from everybody. The Titans have lost to the Jets. The Chiefs are 5-4, but have looked awful all year. The Bills just lost 9-6 to the Jaguars. And then, you know, the Ravens go down to Miami, where they've had a ton of success and pulled this off.
Well, I'll just say this. The Steelers just beat the Bears, and they beat the Bills in week one. They might be going to the Super Bowl.
The who?
The Steelers.
Possibly.
The thing about the Titans is, and this is no really excuse, you lost to the Jets, but they had both their receivers out at the time. Now they're down. Derrick Henry had that huge win in L.A. against the Rams. I think they're the best team now, but again, next week they could lose 46-3, and we'll have to have another conversation. The funny thing about the Bills, we've been giving Josh Allen a pass because he played so well last year and played so well to start. He's played okay to start the season. He's leveled out. He's been sort of replacement level if you look at the advanced stats. And that has to be a concern because they have some other issues there. You know, maybe the Chargers are primed to make a move here. They haven't gotten their doors blown off. They've had some wins that
except by the Ravens, which we just mentioned.
What was that score?
34-6.
Oh, okay. That is a blowout. That was in Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they've had their blowout too. All right. Well, to your point, Brinson, everyone's in this pot together. The Steelers, the Raiders, and the Patriots, I don't think they have a legitimate shot to make a deep run in the playoffs should they be so lucky to get there. But again, maybe this is great news for the Chiefs. Maybe if they can figure out a way to get their act together, maybe they can make some noise in January.
Maybe. I still think Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson had a shot here to go down to South Florida, light up the Dolphins defense. And, you know, frankly, with him playing cover zero all night and just sending the house, Greg Roman's had no game plan for this. They had no adjustment at halftime, which was shocking. They had no cover zero beaters in their wheelhouse at all. Like, just put Rashad Bateman in the slot, have him run a short out, and have Marquise Brown run vertical routes.
But the problem was they did have it a couple times, not very often, but like it would be a swing pass out to the running back who wouldn't gain any yards, got pushed out of bounds. There was one that Marquise Brown that went through his hand.
Those screens were terrible.
I'm saying that everything they did try didn't work.
Those were not cover zero beaters. Like, I mean, they were bad play calls.
They had a bunch of quick plays to beat the blitz because the Dolphins were just sending people. And nothing they did worked. And it was almost like their plan was to make Lamar Jackson just think like you don't have time to think. You just got to get rid of the ball, because if he has time to think, he might start running around. He takes off 40-yard touchdown. So, defensively, this was a masterpiece by the Dolphins.
Yeah, it really good plan by the Dolphins. Lamar Jackson had really, you know, for the first, seven games for the, or I guess, what this is now, they've had their bye. No, they haven't had their bye because they had their bye between the Browns games. Except for last week is what I'm trying to say, Lamar Jackson had averaged 11 rushing attempts per game. Last week, he had 21 for 120 yards. It was definitely an approach that the Ravens want to take where they didn't run him, because they were not using a bunch of design runs. I think he probably beat up. The field was disgusting down in the Dolphin Stadium and Sun Life Stadium or whatever the hell it is now. It was the humidity caused the grass to get wet, sure. And he didn't have very good footing. The Dolphins were sending blitzers. The routes were too deep developing, and he just was, you know, the ball was coming out funny, looked slippery. A poor game for Lamar, poor game from Greg Roman, an atrocious game from the offensive line for the Ravens. And, you know, one of those things where you go down there and let the Dolphins have an opportunity to take the game. And they did. I mean, that's sort of how I view that. But I'm not going to freak out about it, if only because we've seen virtually every AFC team and really every team in the NFL lay a clunker at some point this year.
But as Breach has noted, the Ravens have laid a lot of clunkers. They've just gotten fortunate in a few of those things. They're playing some pretty bad football. So I would imagine John Harbaugh isn't willing to give this team a pass, and I would imagine he's very concerned about how they're playing over the last month or so, because as Breach noted, they could be a 3 or 4 win team. So, you know, we aren't really giving Miami their due. Breach, let me ask you this. Here are the next four games for the Dolphins. They're currently 3-7. You tell me their record after these four games. At the Jets, then they play the Cam Newton Panthers at home, play the Daniel Jones Giants at home bye week, and then they host the Jets again.
Oh, my God. They could win all four of those. And the thing is, like, the reason most people thought the Dolphins would probably win 8 or 9 games this year, and it was because their defense is good, and I feel like they did the same thing to Jared Goff last year, except he's not mobile at all. I think he had like 4 turnovers and they upset the Rams 28-17. And that was also in November, mind you. And so I think a lot of people thought they were going to be good this year because their defense was going to be good. And their defense was just so pitiful through the first few weeks of the season. But I guess everybody's healthy now, because they go out, they held the Texans 9 points Sunday. And it was like, it's the Texans. That's really not that impressive. And then watching them do this, it really makes you feel like I think they could win all four of those games. And I honestly would probably pick them to win all four of those games. Maybe not the Panthers a little bit closer, but if they do, they're 7-7. And if they're 7-7, you're in the thick of the playoff race.
You're picking the Dolphins to rip off 4 more wins
against the Jets, the Panthers, the Giants, and the Jets. Those are their next 4 games.
Is that crazy?
I mean, it's not crazy, but the Dolphins aren't good either.
What do you think? Well, that's what I was going to say, though, too. I don't think they're an automatic win anymore. They've won 2 games in a row.
That's true. I mean, three of those games are in Miami, where the humidity will be a factor.
Exactly.
You make fun of the humidity, but everybody looked a little tired.
I think a split is more likely than... I mean, look, it's a really good stretch. Don't get me wrong. Really, Jets, Panthers, Giants, Jets is a
You can't pile up with a crappier...
With a bye in there.
You can't dial up a crappier list of teams to play if you're trying to get back into the conversation.
It's fair. That's probably fair. They have the Saints, Titans on the road, and then Patriots at home to close out the season. So, I mean, does 7-7 even, it definitely gets you in the conversation. I don't disagree with that. But
no, but 7-10 means Brian Flores is coming back and he can quit having to worry about answering questions.
And you don't have to give away a top 5 pick at 7-10 either, which I was going to say,
that's the worst part of the night for me, is like, I've given up hope on a top 3 pick.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I really do think it's more likely to go 2-2. I mean, that wasn't a good football team.
They just beat the Ravens.
What's weird though is that keep going. Cause I was going to go back to Baltimore real quick. And we're talking about the Dolphins.
I mean, look, now the other thing too, is the Giants, the Panthers and the Jets all have really terrible offensive lines. Maybe the Dolphins come out and just fire blitzkrieg cover zero at all three of those teams, and the quarterbacks cough it up. They'll have to play Cam Newton, I guess, and maybe the legend Mike White.
Legend
Mike White. Look, man, maybe they win all four and they get to 7-7. I still don't think they're going to the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination, but
yeah, no one said that.
But you can definitely avoid everyone getting fired by winning the next four games.
Yeah.
Who starts next week for the Dolphins?
Tua.
If he's healthy, I would imagine.
I would agree. Why didn't he start tonight if he could play?
Who knows? Why did he? Why did he bench Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, Brian Flores, when they started 3-3? Who knows?
If there was no quarterback in football, I think Brian Flores maybe could be a good coach.
He's like Sean McDermott with Nate Peterman back in the day. Just didn't make any sense.
It seems like Tua, watching this team play this season, that Tua is clearly the better quarterback. And even, I mean, we saw in that deep throw he had, I don't remember who it was to.
Jalen Waddle.
To Waddle. And it looked like Tua was almost iffy, like, oh man, I don't know if I can get the ball that far. Maybe that's why, because they didn't think he could make the deep throw. Not that you're going to be making a ton of those against the Ravens, because that thing floated up there and he put everything he had into it. It was only about 40 yards in the air.
Hey, hit that like button. We're trying to give away a Brinson Sucks hat in the chat. Oh God, look at me. Look how young
I am. By the way, I love that Breach is dunking on Tua for only being able to throw the ball 40 yards, because Breach has self-proclaimed being able to throw the ball 40 yards in the air as well.
Right. It's
true.
It's insane. Yeah. Like you think Tua is like a professional athlete who's done playing quarterback his whole life.
With a broken finger.
Yeah. And he... Right. You're not throwing it. Anyway, we're not getting off that tangent.
What I was going to say about the Ravens, though, is one of the reasons it was surprising their offense was so bad is because their first two possessions, they moved the ball. I mean, they got quickly in the Dolphins territory both times, ended up settling for field goals. But I mean, they did not have any issues getting just moving the ball down the field. And then after those two field goal attempts, it was punt, 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 punt. Sammy Watkins fumble. It was kind of weird that they looked good and then just fell off a cliff.
Indeed. You know what? Sometimes you spend 18 months locked inside during a pandemic and your fashion falls off a cliff. Happens to a lot of us, and that's okay. What do you need? You need Indochino. Now, you can be two types of people. You can be a Ryan Wilson, an outgoing, a vivacious personality who loves spending time with other humans in you know, intimate settings where they're measuring him, et cetera, for clothes. If you're that type of person, you know, an extrovert, you can go to Nordstrom's, your local Nordstrom's, and get some Indochino in your life. Or if you're like me and you're a recluse and you don't like to leave your house and you don't want to see people or interact with other humans, you can go to Indochino.com and you can order. You can have a custom suit tailored for you online by using their simple, easy to use website. It's incredible. You basically measure things you didn't even know you had to measure for custom suits, because it's not just, all right, let's check your neck size and check your weight, chest size, and we'll get you a shirt out there and get you a suit. No. They do everything. Things you like, you have shoulders, hips. I was going to name a bunch of body parts, but you get the point. You go in there, it's very simple, and it's surprisingly simple how quickly you can get all those things inputted in and get a custom suit or custom shirt sent your way. And you will save even more on Indochino.com or using promo code PICK6 as they run this incredible Black Friday sale that is currently underway. If you're, maybe there's somebody in your life who needs some clothes, or maybe you need some new clothes, get away from video calls and get back into looking and feeling amazing. Indochino's Black Friday event runs from November 8th, so we're in the middle of this thing, to November 29th. Save even more and get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code PICKSIX, PICKSIX, at Indochino.com. That's a $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino, Indochino.com, promo code PICKSIX. Feeling good.
I want to show some responses for this question, because we've tossed it around, you know.
Breaches, how far can Breach throw a football? 23 yards? 12 and a half yards?
Under. 25 yards.
25 is probably about right.
22 yards.
Breach thinks he can throw it 40.
Jeremy Clark.
I'll take that one.
By the way, Jeremy's the one who did the drawing for you, Breach, that you've yet to act on.
He made the drawing, put it on your body, and have Jeremy put a signature.
26.2 miles. Also, the length of Breach's infamous marathon. That's a good one.
Too.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I'll take that. Thanks, Clarence.
39.5. Take the under on that.
Take the under, yeah.
So just for comparison's sake, Debo, you said you and your brother went out to the field not too long ago. How far did you throw the football?
I threw it 39 yards. I'm not claiming, there's no chance I'm claiming 40 right now, but you know, I'm in the gym working to get to that point.
So there's no way Breach, who's 10 years older than you, can throw the ball 5 yards farther than you.
But with much more football experience.
What Breach, are you talking about?
Yeah, you're number one. You're
a football player. I've got football experience.
You're a foot shorter than Debo and 10 years older. I don't understand what math you're doing.
Debo, do you think I can throw football 40 yards?
I had questions because I thought I could not easily reach it, but I thought I would get there, and I was disappointed in myself. But I think you're right around there. I don't think you're throwing it like 31, but 40's up for debate, I would say.
So, Breach, did you hear how far Debo's brother threw it?
57.
Are you guessing, or is that what you heard?
That's a guess. I have no idea.
What was it, 55, Debo?
57.
Oh, that's 57? Way to go.
He told us on this podcast before. It's like Breach knew what the number was.
No, I honestly had no idea. I knew it was further than Debo because Debo, I remember him saying he didn't hit 40.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so like, are we talking, do you get multiple crow hops, running start? Like, what's,
yeah, he can start, you can do whatever you want. I can throw like a shot put if I want.
He can start run 50 yards. He could start at the opposite end zone and run up to the.
He can throw it. I'd be too tired to throw it if I did that.
You could throw it from a golf cart, just floor to the golf cart and throw it from the back of the golf cart.
I could use forward momentum to my advantage.
What kind of football were you using, Debo?
The official full-size football. I wanted to make sure it was the real deal.
Regulation NFL football?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unless Breach has Drew Brees hand size, there's no way he has the hands to even hold the football.
Right. Like, I envision this ball slipping out. It's like a safety. Like for Breach is throwing from his own end zone. Yes, right. He's like throws, flies out the backside.
This is laughable.
I look forward to it. Hey, hopefully we'll be together soon at some point. Maybe they'll make you go. Look,
Breach, film yourself anytime, Uncle Rico. Let's see what you do.
I thought this was, I wanted to bring this up on the All Things Covered podcast this week.
Oh, yeah, bring it up.
We featured John Smoltz as the guest, and he told us that he could throw. Take a listen. That in his heyday before Tommy John surgery and before a couple surgeries, he said he could throw a football between, he said, 60 and 80 yards, which I can believe, but that's just a very wide gap to say between 60 yards and 80 yards. There's a huge difference between throwing 60, still super impressive, and then throwing 80, which is like borderline world record territory, depending on the elevation you're at.
Maybe 80 was when he's with the Tigers before he got traded, and then 60 was towards the end of his career when he was 40 years old, still playing. Still 20. Still 20 to 60 yards farther than John Breach. I couldn't. No one heard us say because you kept interrupting, but go ahead. Sorry. By the way, you mentioned Uncle Rico. You know Uncle Rico was in White Lotus?
I don't think I realized that. What character was he?
That's the thing. He seems like he would be the guy running the hotel because he looks sort of like Uncle Rico. But that guy, I think, is South African. I might be wrong. He's not American.
He's not American for sure.
Who? Uncle Rico was the guy who was dating, who was hooking up with Stifler's mom for a bit. He was the guy who was sick.
Are you serious?
Man, that movie came out a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. That was a fun little fact.
You just sent me into a tailspin here.
I know. I was expecting it to be. I said, there's no way it's the... The guy who
John Grease is Uncle Rico?
Yeah, look at that.
Holy bleep. Man, I would you could have
lined up a million people and he would have been the very last person you would have guessed.
I would not have guessed Uncle Rico.
He's still in great shape, but he looks nothing like Uncle Rico. The mustache is gone, and so he's got the Wilson haircut now.
Wow. Man.
There's your fun job. That was Uncle Rico. You got it. Top that fun fact, Breach.
I've got a fun fact. That was the fewest points that the Ravens have ever put up in Lamar Jackson's career since he became a starter.
Unfortunately, Wilson's fun fact was so good that you didn't top it, but that was a pretty good fun fact.
Thank you.
So
you can't pop what Wilson gave us. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I can't.
Hit the old like button, folks. Hit the like button. We're trying to give away one of these Brinson Sucks hats. We will find somebody. I think
we need 20 more.
20 more likes to get a Brinson Sucks hat given away in the chat. I'm like too shook by this Uncle Rico fact.
It was crazy. I was sort of surprised to see, because I saw it somewhere that he was in it, and I was surprised to see that too. It popped up because I had no guesses. By the way, Javon Holland, look, you know, people have been, myself included, been giving the Dolphins a hard time for their draft picks the last few years because mostly they've been taking offensive linemen who haven't panned out. Shout out to Robert Hunt for being the best running back on the field on Thursday night. And Liam Eichenberg for recovering those two fumbles. But Javon Holland has been absolutely amazeballs, as the kids like to say. Flying all over the field. Did he have an interception? He had some pass breakups. He had some great tackles. He blitzed. Next Gen Stats had him blitzing more tonight than any – let's see if I can find it.
Any other linebacker? I believe it.
So Dolphins safeties Javon Holland and Brandon Jones – blitz more times tonight against the Ravens than any other defensive back in any game this season. So not just against the Ravens. So as you pointed out, Brinson, they just kept coming and there were no answers from Greg Roman.
What about the answer that Sammy Watkins didn't have? Was he the go to the game?
No, yeah. I'm giving it to Justin Tucker because they would have won if he kicked that field goal because momentum.
If he made a field goal in the first quarter, they would have won.
He would have built momentum. Look, if your best player is not there mentally, you sort of just give up.
Are you saying Justin Tucker is better than Lamar Jackson? I just need you on record saying that.
He was doing that. I mean,
no, I don't want to say it because then Debo put up that Tar Heels win thing if I say that about Justin Tucker.
Hey, Tar Heels eliminated. Oh, Tar Heels. Good Tar Heels eliminated from winning the Coastal tonight. Let's go. I did my part. I bet on the Carolina money line just to make sure that they wouldn't win, and they didn't.
I mean, what Sammy did, though, he had the stop in the end zone where Lamar had threw. He was getting blitzed. He threw a ball up, and Sammy had at least a chance at it, and he just stopped walking in the end zone. He just stopped running his route.
What if he lost the ball in the lights? Are you buying that or not?
I mean, I am not buying it. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it. It just because it looked like he came to a full. When you lose the ball in the lights, you have that look of confusion. You're looking back, and
he looked confused.
He looked confused about the fact that he didn't get injured on the route. That's why he was confused, because he's injured all the time. All right. It didn't look like. Maybe he did. You know, it's possible. No one else lost a single ball in the lights all night, so maybe he had the only one that got lost in the lights. I'm saying I don't think he lost in the lights, but you're making that face. And
it looked weird because no one said anything when it originally happened. I said, are we going to talk about this or not? And then they came back from break. The Fox crew did it and mentioned it. And then there were some people on Twitter that thought maybe he lost it in the lights. Either way.
And if that happens, I guess. Yeah.
But if he had just taken another step and a half and stuck his arm out, the ball would have hit him in the hands.
And like, if that's his only mistake, that's fine. Yeah. But then
the fumble flipped the game.
That's it. I mean, that's when it was like, oh my God, the Dolphins are going to win. It really felt like no matter what the score was, when it got to 9-3, it was the Ravens would come back and win. This is not a big deal. But then once the fumble return TD happened, it was like, oh my God, the Dolphins might actually win this. And that you're right, Brinson. The fumble absolutely flipped the game. And it was Sammy Watkins, I think Xavier Howard strip a man, return it.
How about that?
Xavier Howard scooped it and scored.
Last week in the Dolphins-Texans game, Preachy reminded me, there were 9 turnovers. And this game Thursday night, the Ravens alone had 8 punts, which is their worst during the Lamar Jackson era. Sam Cook might have been the player of the game.
So where do the Ravens from here? I mean, this, you know, they're an 8.5 point favorite going into Miami. Felt like it was going to be a free win. It was just a question of how many points did they win by. They're now at the Bears in 10 days.
That game's going to be fun because Justin Fields is going to be playing with a little more confidence after dismantling the Steelers secondary in the second half, having a chance to win the game. They should have won that game. And the Ravens are going to be not reeling, but having some questions about just how good they are, I feel like.
And that doesn't feel like such
Ravens,
a walk.
The Ravens have had their bye. It's the Browns who have their bye between the Ravens games.
And by the way, Khalil Mack may be back by then. Eddie Jackson may be back. Keem Hicks might be healthy. So
yeah, if you have a fully healthy Bears defense, they can do what the Dolphins did. Just come up with some crazy defensive game plan, do something similar, not exactly because the Ravens will start looking for that. But I mean, the Bears have enough defensive talent to, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you looked out the Ravens schedule, nothing is a gimme anymore. I mean, the rest of their schedule is brutal.
It is not great.
The Bears are the worst team they face, and the Bears are, I mean, the Bears are 3-6. Every other team.
I mean, no, don't agree. I don't disagree at all. I mean, Packers.
Every other team they face is
out of division. Packers, Rams down the stretch is really, really tough. And
so, Brenton,
I would just say this, like, you get the Browns twice, the Bengals once, and the Steelers twice. While it is brutal because that division is tough, like if one team in that division gets really hot down the stretch, they can just like speed out of there and take the lead. More likely is they beat each other up and it comes down to week 18 is what happens.
The Ravens have 8 games left, and 7 of those games are against teams that currently have a winning record.
Yep.
So the next 4 games, who has the better record coming out 4 games from now, the Dolphins or the Ravens?
I'm going to take the Ravens.
You're going to take the Ravens, this 4 game stretch versus the Dolphins and their 4 game stretch?
I thought you were saying overall. Games,
who was going to have a better record?
No, just the 4 game stretch.
So Bears at Bears, Browns at home.
At Steelers at Browns.
I mean.
And that versus Jets.
That's tough.
No, it's not. You're taking the Dolphins.
I don't know if I'm taking the Dolphins. I think the Ravens probably go 3-1. I don't think it's a lock that
you think the Ravens go 3-1.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that game in Pittsburgh, they don't. That's going to be a game. You just never know. Like there was a time during late in the draft.
I mean, you're right. They split with the Browns. I don't think that's going to be a sweep.
I don't know if like I feel like Justin Fields, if he gets hot, and that defense stinks. Like the Steelers defense is pretty good.
Sounds just like the Andy Dalton thing.
The Ravens defense is not good. I mean, that's just, we saw that tonight. We saw it. We've seen it most of the season. And I just wonder if Justin Fields plays with a little more confidence and they get some of those guys back on defense for the Bears. If that, like, especially it's in Chicago. I mean, they could end up, you know, the Bears could lose a game 50-0 and it won't even matter, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. Like, what odds do you want Brinson to take I would imagine you want to take the Ravens with some plus money, right?
Plus money over the next 4 games? Yeah, for sure.
Right. What is it?
Give me plus 150.
I mean that versus the Miami schedule.
Yeah. Next 4 games, who has a better? And if it's 2-2 and 2-2, it's a push.
Who are you taking, Breach?
I'll take the Ravens for sure.
At +150.
I'm taking the Dolphins.
I think I'm taking the Dolphins too.
And I can't believe I just said that.
We've been wrong a lot on this podcast, so it doesn't matter really. But it's just, you know.
But the best part is that one of us will be right because we're debating 2 sides.
Yeah. There you go.
That is correct, Breach.
Math.
So who would you pick right now to win the division, AFC North?
Jeez, a pizza. You know what? I'm going to say the Browns, assuming they get healthy.
Are you only saying the Browns because you don't want to say the Steelers?
Well, let's be honest. The Steelers they should have lost to Seattle. They should have lost to the Bears. They're not a good team. They just have been lucky in the ways that the Ravens have sort of been lucky too, but the Ravens are better. Not only being lucky, but a better football team, at least offensively.
Here is a fun fact for you based on that question, Ryan. The Browns have the second hardest remaining schedule in the NFL. The Bengals tied for the second hardest remaining schedule in the NFL. The Ravens have the 6th most difficult remaining schedule in the NFL, but that number is only going to go up because their easy game was the Dolphins and they lost it. And the Steelers have the 7th most difficult remaining schedule in the NFL.
I mean, it's because they're all playing each other.
Right. They're all in the same.
Well, I mean, no, they're all playing like the Packers and Rams. The Ravens still have to play. I mean, they're all playing teams that are good down the stretch. This isn't like they're out there getting to play the Jacksonville schedule. Yeah, and Houston every week.
Multiple people have the Chiefs. Multiple teams have the Chiefs. I mean, the Steelers have the, like, you're like, oh, they got the Lions, but then it's Chargers, Bengals, Ravens, Vikings, Titans, Chiefs, Browns, Ravens. Golly.
Yeah, it's going to be. All right, here's another question. Whoever you want to win the division doesn't matter. What's the win total going to be for the winner in this division? Is it going to be 10?
Might be 10.
You know what's funny is in my preseason prediction, I had a 3-way tie at 10-7, which seemed not plausible when the Ravens were 6-2 and probably going to win this game and going to 7-2. But now that we've got this backlog where the Steelers beat the Lions, we'll have 6-3. We don't know what the Browns and Patriots do. I feel like that's a coin toss game. But if they lose, you're at 5-5, and now you're just, it's a jumbled mess.
What, how many, the other question is, how many teams in this division get a wild card berth?
One. I don't know. So I don't know if 10 wins is going to happen. I'm looking at this Ravens schedule. I mean, it could happen, but
schedules are tough.
It feels like it's 50-50 that they get the, or do they update the win totals throughout the, do they do. Moving win totals?
Let me see if I can find them on, William Hill had them earlier.
Caesars.
Well, I mean, I think somebody's getting a 10 because, like you said, the Ravens have so many division games left and somebody has to win that.
Yeah, but so, if they just sort of split those.
I can find it easier on my local site, so I'm going to give it to you. Steelers' current win total, 8.5 over is -141.
Yeah, it's a 5-win team. They're only going to win 3 to 4 more games, according to Caesars. Or two.
Bengals' current win total, 9.5 is -200 to the under.
That's Debo's newsletter.
What's that?
That was Debo's newsletter that had him going over 9.
Oh, right. And obviously the Ravens are not on this list. And I don't actually see the Browns either.
The Browns have the Bengals on there. They kicked them out of the league.
That's because they don't want to put a 12.5 over because they know the Bengals are going to hit it.
Oh, here, let's see. Caesars actually does have them up. So Browns over 9.5 -110.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I don't like that.
The Bengals under 9.5 -180. So that checks out as well. And the, it's lovely, these aren't in alphabetical order. I don't see the Steelers on here, but as I said, it was 8.5 juice to the over. That's interesting. Man, I mean, this is going to be a smash mouth finish here, isn't it?
And whoever wins is going to have like 4 players left to go into the playoffs. They're going to beat each other up.
And division odds are not up right now because they're adjusting for the, obviously for the Ravens game.
Did any of you have the Ravens in your midseason updated Super Bowl pool?
I did not. I had the Chargers and the Rams because F you, Breach.
I stayed with my preseason pick.
I also stayed with my preseason pick. But Ryan, you actually switched yours. So you're actually making stuff up.
Oh, what did I switch? I had Bills and Packers.
Yeah, but who'd you have winning in the
preseason? Oh, did I get the pick wrong?
You switched your winner and you copied me.
So I had the Bills winning at the beginning of the season. I switched to the Packers?
You did.
Oh.
Because we picked the same Super Bowl, but the difference was we had different winners.
I'll switch it. I'm staying with the Bills. I just wanted, I didn't go back and look. That's why, that's the only reason I missed it.
Brinson was one of 3 people that took the Rams. Me and you were the only ones that took the Packers.
Yeah, you can have the
at midseason or preseason?
Midseason.
Oh. Yeah, I meant to take the Bills. That's on me. So I'm doing Bills for the record. So remember
Lock
that.
Florida and Jared Dubin both took the Rams along with Brinson to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that was before they were getting Odell. You made that prediction before the Odell.
Yes, that's correct. I would actually have gone with a different team post Odell. Okay. So do we want to give away a hat?
Yeah.
Does Brinson suck?
Let's end the podcast. No, I don't want to do that. Let's keep the podcast going. I'm putting all right, in we'll the do, final names right now.
Who's got a question? Someone other than M. Jones have a question? Anybody other than M. Jones have a question? Any question at all?
What is M. Jones asking that you don't want to talk about?
Stop letting them rent this headspace.
I'm not in a headspace. I'm just
Rent free. I'm just entering in the final couple names of this generator. So winner in about 60 seconds.
Love it.
I'm looking on PickWatch where they have like 250 experts or something.
Where am I?
No one picked the Dolphins.
Oh, where am I ranked?
Not one person, not even like a Homer Dolphins website. Dude,
why would you though? They didn't know if they're going to have their
quarterback. Usually out of that many people, there's one like crazy person who says, you know what? Maybe they could pull off the upset.
We have several questions about the Patriots, the Dolphins, and Tom Brady. Let's throw those up and we'll talk about them while you figure out who gets the hat, Debo. Oh, I've got the winner. Oh, M. Jones, are you kidding me?
Oh, boy.
I'm kidding. He didn't win. It's Nathan Zaffuto is our winner of the Brinson Sucks hat.
Nice.
Go ahead and drop in the chat whether you want, or Debo will get in touch with you, or say whether you want the hat or the toboggan. May depend on what kind of weather you live in. Who is to say? Will Lamar still win MVP? Is there a question on there?
No. You can't win MVP with the Dolphins loss on your resume.
I mean, he could technically, because it's still so wide open, but I feel like the fact that his egg came so much later than, like, there were a bunch of eggs in week 9 from different people, and Lamar's came later. So I think it would take a pretty robust run down the stretch for Lamar to get involved in that MVP race. I still think Mahomes, I'm not saying, I don't think he's going to win, don't get me wrong, but I think it's a good bet to hit Mahomes at like 60-1 or 80-1, depending on where you can find it.
You're going to die on that hill.
Well, I'm betting on Tom Brady.
Let's see what else we got in here. Somebody asked, why did I decide to shower today? I had to do HQ. Usually I don't shower. Wear a hat. Hair's very clean. Thank you. Who do you like to win the AFC? I assume that means to actually advance out of the AFC to the Super Bowl and not become the number one seed, but feel free to give both.
Oh, I'm going with my Super Bowl pick, the Buffalo Bills. Okay.
You know what? I was also going to say that, but I want to be different. So I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I mean, that. I think that would be.
Get on the Titans bandwagon.
I don't know.
Rolling through Nashville with the bachelorette party in the Titans bandwagon.
You and Brinson both. That's how you guys made your money 2 years ago.
I'll tell you what. We're going to end the podcast right now, and I'll give my AFC pick after on the YouTube exclusive AFC.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.